Hello, everybody, and a very warm welcome to this, the fifth of our midweek Lenten services. And our theme for this part of Lent is an army of ordinary people. And in these services, I hope to be able to have a chat with somebody who has a connection with our church and invite them to share just a little bit of their spiritual journey with us. So later in the service, I'll be introducing you to our guest for this evening's service. And if you want to catch any of our previous midweek Lenten services so far, they're all available on the St. Finian's YouTube channel. But as we gather on this Thursday evening to worship God, our opening hymn is a wonderful hymn of entrusting our lives to God. All my hope on God is founded. Our service this evening is the service of a late evening office. Blessed be our God for all time, now and forevermore. Amen. Glory to you, our God. Glory be to you, Holy Spirit, Comforter, Treasure of all goodness and Giver of life. Come and dwell in us. Cleanse us from all sin, and in your love bring us to salvation. Holy God, holy and strong, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. Our psalm appointed for this evening's service is a psalm of penitence in which the psalmist seeks God's mercy and forgiveness. And we're going to share together verses 1 to 12 of Psalm 51. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, O God, in your great goodness. According to the abundance of your compassion, blot out my offenses. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my faults, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence, and righteous in your judgment. I have been wicked even from my birth, a sinner when my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth deep within me, and shall make me understand wisdom in the depths of my heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear of joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Turn your face from my sins, and blot out all my misdeeds. Make me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Here ends our psalm for this evening. Our Bible reading is from the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 29, beginning to read at verse 1. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother, the court officials and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the artisans, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elasa, son of Shaphan, and to Gemariah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Here ends our Bible reading. Well, I'm absolutely delighted this evening to welcome as our guest to our service Barbara Carlyle. And Barbara will be no stranger to parishioners of St. Finian's. She has been sexton here since 2015, and as a former nurse, Barbara brings medical knowledge and expertise, and indeed has often tended to parishioners who felt unwell during services. She has opened up the church during this lockdown to facilitate funeral services and has been a great pastoral support and presence to families. She's unfailingly reliable, and she is an incredible support to me personally in the way that she does her job, with a real heart for service, for prayer, and for sharing the love of God. And I'm absolutely delighted that she is going to share with us tonight. Barbara, you're so welcome. It's great to have you sitting in a different seat to the one you normally sit in. But I'm going to just ask, for the benefit of those who are joining us who may not know you, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself for those who don't know you?
Okay. Thank you, Jono, for that introduction. My name is Barbara. I'm 71 years old, well, for another month anyway. I'm a mother to two grown-up children, a daughter and a son, and a grandmother to four grandsons and one granddaughter. I was born in Belfast and brought up in Mount Marion area, quite close to here. I went to Craigie Primary School and to Knockbreda High School. My family attended St. Jude's Church, and we attended every Sunday as a family. Went to Sunday school, Girls Brigade, and my parents encouraged that. And I, at about 15, I made a commitment of a sort, but then I drifted away a bit, as a lot of people do. From when I was a little girl, I wanted to be a nurse. And I specifically loved children and babies, but I didn't actually know that that was a thing, you know, that there was such a thing as a pediatric nurse. But anyway, when I was about 14, my friend and I decided we'd take a bus up the Falls Road and presented ourselves at the Children's Hospital. And the home sister, as was, she welcomed us at the door, and we said, we're here to do voluntary work, and off we went and into the wards. You wouldn't do that nowadays. But anyway, I spent the next couple of years, every weekend, holidays, going in, feeding the babies, changing them, and actually just sitting and absorbing all that was going on around me. And I knew that that was the path I wanted to take. So when I was 16 and a half, I applied for nursing. But I didn't actually have the qualifications necessary, but I sat an entrance exam and I failed it the first time. And I remember my dad saying, you go up to that matron and you ask her to give you another go. So she did. So all thanks to my former matron, Miss Hudson. So I worked in the Children's Hospital, completed my training there, and then did my general nursing in the Royal Victoria, and worked there in the height of the troubles. Spent about 4 years there, and then went back to my original love of pediatric nursing. And I stayed there for the rest of my nursing career, which was about 45 years in all. So I joined St. Finian's in the middle of all of that. My children were born 16 months apart, and I actually hadn't really gone to church in the interim. But anyway, somebody directed me here, and I joined it and just loved it from the day and hour I came. I was a member of Mother's Union. I took Anchor Boys for many years, and I led a house group for many years. And then I retired, and I volunteered with the NSPCC and do some work in the church. So basically, that's a bit of my life history.
Well, that's an amazing sort of story, really, when particularly you go back there and you think of how you persevered and you got in there to do the thing that you really loved and that you really wanted to do. And over, as I say, all those years, I'm going to ask you now a little bit about your faith journey. And can you tell everybody, when did your faith become important to you? You mentioned a time there in your teens, maybe, but when would you say it became important to you?
Well, obviously, when you're a child, you know your parents introduce you to church, and I suppose when I was thinking about this, I remembered always seeing my dad on his knees at the side of his bed saying his prayers, and when I look back on it now. Our house was freezing, and no matter what, he was there on his knees. I suppose it didn't really mean a lot to me in those days. When I look back on it, it was, you know, that was him, and obviously my mother as well. But he would have been probably an influence. And then, as I say, I went off into nursing, and you either joined the nurses who were Christians, or you sort of joined the social side of it, and I'm afraid I slipped into the social side. But once the children were born, I realised that, gosh, I've made promises here at their baptism, and I haven't really carried it through. So I went around a few churches, and eventually found St Finian's. And it was just amazing how welcoming, and in those days when I joined nearly 40 years ago, it was a very lively church, with plenty of children. But I went on, I came every Sunday, and as I listened, and I sort of, my faith started to get real again. And then my marriage broke up, and I had great support here, and all of a sudden then my faith really meant something. You know, I had to depend on God to get me through that. And then some years later, my husband and I separated, and some years later he died, and my son then became addicted to drugs and alcohol. So really had to lean on my faith quite a bit, and still do, some 20 odd years later. So that was, I suppose, my faith really. Also, when I worked, my last 20 years of my nursing career, I worked in the children's hematology unit. So that was a place where, you know, your faith could have been tested, really. I did night duty when my children were small. And at night, the parents, that was an opportunity to talk and to share your faith. And on many occasions, we would have spent, you know, if parents asked for prayer, you know, if they realized you were Christian and they had a faith, or they were searching, it was a lovely opportunity to do that. And I did take that opportunity on many times. So all of those things, you know, my faith became very real to me during those times of experience in my life, basically.
And it sounds to me, again, as when you went through those very testing times, that God became very real to you, and that's a really powerful thing, I think, when that happens in our lives. And as you think about that, were there maybe people along the way on your journey who were key people, maybe in terms of sharing faith with you as you made your way through that journey?
Yeah, definitely. Well, as I've said, my dad would have been, and my parents would have had an influence. But when I came to St Finian's, I would have to say that our late rector, Canon Batty, had a profound effect on my faith. I found he was such a very intelligent man, but he always made things very relevant and clear. So he would have had a big influence in my life. Also, Divine Healing Ministry, 20 years ago more, I joined the prayer ministry in Divine Healing, And I used to go maybe three nights a week to healing services, and the people in that were just tremendous, you know, right from Brother David right to all the other people that I befriended over the years who really strengthened my faith. I also had a good friend in Clare, and her and I walked together on the path of our faith in the early days as young Christians. And her husband used to say, if there was a meeting in a ditch, you two would be first in the queue. We were very enthusiastic when we were young. So lots of people, and I like the analogy of the train. I think I probably shared it with some people. You're on a journey and people step off and people step on again. And all through your life, there's different people who encourage you, and yourself, of course, as well, in these last 10 years here, Jono. So, yeah.
Well, it's amazing, isn't it, just when you think about all those people who were key people along the way. And I wonder then, if we move on a little bit, could you share with people what would be your favourite Bible passage and why?
Right, well, I've actually got two verses, but both sort of blend together. My favourite verse is Jeremiah 29, verse 11, and it's, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." And God gave that verse to me many years ago, and he also gave it to my son in a secular song, Swedish House Mafia, I think, if I remember it rightly. But the words were important to him, even though he's still on a journey, as we all are. We're a work in progress. The other verse that sustained me is, I've had to learn patience over these last lot of years for a long-awaited answer to prayer, is, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see," and that's in Hebrews 11, verse 1. And funny enough, today in one of my Bible readings, 2 Corinthians, was, we walk by faith and not by sight. So I just keep believing that God's hand is on our lives and he knows what he's doing with us.
That's fantastic. And that they're very powerful verses, aren't they? And just to get that sense that God does know the plans that he has for our lives. Would you be able to share if there are any particular spiritual practices that kind of help you in your daily life and your sort of walk of faith?
Yeah, well, when I was first a Christian, I used to read Every Day with Jesus, Selwyn Hughes. I read that for many years, and I used to, funny enough, when the children were small, I would be more motivated to get up early in the morning to have quiet time before they got up, whereas now I sort of have time to have my quiet time at any time. I would have read that, and over the last lot of years, UCB's Word for the Day, I like it. Also, Noel gave me a lovely book over 30 years ago, God Calling, and I've read it practically every day for the last over 30 years. I love listening to people's stories. I love reading books. And I usually try to spend some time in prayer and Bible study in the day. And over this last while in lockdown, we've been able to share a lot of music and scripture, and that has been it's been really uplifting for us.
That's fantastic. So those sort of key things then, to me, from what I'm listening to, would sound to be reading your Bible every day. I'm trying to spend some time in prayer and finding good devotional books to read, and again, listening to music and different kinds of Christian music that just help you to focus back in on God.
Yeah, definitely.
So I just want to say thank you so much, Barbara, for sharing some of your faith story with everybody this evening. I certainly have found it really inspiring, and it's just wonderful to hear everybody's story is so different. And as I've sort of called this section of the Lenten services an army of ordinary people, because we are ordinary people, and yet everybody has a powerful story to share, and God is at work in people's lives. So thank you so much for sharing with us this evening. And as we respond to what Barbara has shared with us, we're going to turn now in our service to a time of prayer. And as we enter into this time of prayer, the words and the responses will appear on the screen as we pray. Let us pray. Let us pray to the Lord this evening with all our heart and with all our soul. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for all Christian people that they may live in love and truth. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for all ministers of the church and for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray this evening for peace throughout the world and for all governments. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for our neighbors and for all our friends. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for those who hate us as we pray for those who love us. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray this evening for refugees and prisoners and for all who are exposed to the dangers of travel. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for all sick people, for the sorrowful and the dying. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray for the abundance of the fruits of the earth, and that the poor and hungry may receive a just share. Lord, have mercy. Let us remember our brothers and sisters who have entered into eternal rest. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. And we're going to continue in a time of quiet prayer. And as we enter into that time of quiet prayer, I'm going to encourage us this evening especially to pray for those who have been bereaved. It has been a very sad week in the life of our church family. And so this evening we're going to pray for the Humphreys family circle mourning the death of Jim. We're going to pray for the McBride family circle as Ivy's funeral takes place tomorrow. We're going to pray for the McDowell family circle as Kay's funeral service happens on Saturday morning. We're going to pray for the Logan family circle as Desmond's funeral will take place next Tuesday. And we also pray this evening for the Brown family circle on the death of our oldest parishioner, Mrs. Peg Brown. And so, Lord, in the quietness, we ask for your comfort and strength and support for all of these families in their sad loss. And so in the quietness, we bring them into the Lord's presence this evening. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A special collect prayer for this evening. Lord God, whose blessed Son, our Saviour, gave his back to the smiters and did not hide his face from shame, give us grace to endure the sufferings of this present time with sure confidence in the glory that shall be revealed through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray together, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. And we share our common collect together. Lord Almighty, Lord Almighty, come and scatter the darkness of our hearts by the light of your presence, that we may know you, the light of the world, and the one true God, blessed this night and forevermore. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. May the Almighty and merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us. Amen. Thank you so much to Barbara for sharing with us this evening. And the closing hymn for our service is the hymn Christ Triumphant, Ever Reigning.